Of course, it's not just California beset by budget woes. Lack of cash was one of the hot topics in San Francisco this past week as hundreds of state legislators from around the country gathered for their annual convention to compare notes and strategies. In this era of cash-strapped budgets, spending is getting scrutiny. In some states, record amounts are being spent on prisons and incarceration. We're going to take a look at how states are coping with a national trend. Mark Maurer, Assistant Director of the Sentencing Project, says the U.S. is the world leader in lockups.
Number one in the world, both in absolute numbers and per capita rate. So we surpassed Russia some years ago. And
can you talk about per capita rates of incarceration?
Yeah, well, measured by the percentage of the population per 100,000, it's behind bars. The United States now has a rate of imprisonment of 701 per 100,000. This is five or eight times the rate of other industrialized nations, Canada, Western Europe. Until a few years ago, Russia had been the per capita leader in incarceration, but as a result of the continuing rise in the U.S., and Russia's also declared a very significant amnesty, the United States is now considerably above the Russian rate of incarceration as well.
There are over 2 million people in U.S. prisons, and it's costing billions. So a number of states are thinking about how to, as Maurer puts it, retool a get-tough-on-crime policy for one that calls for getting smart on crime. That appeals to Al O'Brien, a state senator from Washington State.
Well, the problem with the prison growth since the mid-'80s, the general population in Washington State has grown 35% since the mid-1980s, yet the prison population has grown 160%.
O'Brien is not of the radical chic persuasion. For 29 years, he was a cop, 21 of those years on the street. He represents a district just north of Seattle.
Costs $25,000 a year to put a guy into prison, and at the same time, a lot of families of prisoners go on the state welfare system because all of a sudden the father is gone or the mother is gone into prison, and they're serving time. Nobody's out there supporting the family.
O'Brien favors a day release program for nonviolent prisoners to work during the day and return to their cells at night. That sort of program can cost just a fraction of what full-time incarceration requires, maybe just a couple of $1,000 instead of $25,000.
The overall object is reduce crime in the community. Punishment is one way to do that, but you have to be wise the way you use punishment. Sometimes you can end up hurting yourself and hurting society. You got to look at the big picture, and that is reducing crime in society and trying to make as many parties involved as you can whole, and that includes the criminal and his or her family.
O'Brien says Washington State has reduced its criminal justice spending by $43 million through early release, which includes reducing sentences through good behavior or good time. In neighboring Idaho, Denton Darrington led a movement abolishing good time for inmates. Darrington, a state senator for 21 years, heads up the Criminal Justice and Rules Committee. Crime isn't up in this state of just over a million, says Darrington. There are only 35 more inmates this year in Idaho. But parole has increased, he says, because the Parole Commission has appointed more hearing officers.
Those hearing officers seem to be better preparing the inmates to face the parole board with regard to where they're going to live and what they're going to do. And so, consequently, our Parole Commission has been granting about a 68% parole rate.
Is Idaho considering changing its sentencing laws?
No. Not as long as I'm the chairman of Judiciary and Rules, at least not in a remarkable way. We'll evaluate individual ones. There's a misconception out there that our prisons are full because of mandatory minimums. That's not true. I had a little study done this spring by our legislative services, and I had it checked by the prosecutors. We've only got about 10 mandatory minimums in the state, and about half of them are DUI laws. I don't think any of us want to take on MAD and lessen the DUI sentences.
The biggest crime problem in Idaho, he says, is drugs, especially methamphetamines. And those cases are being heard by the relatively new drug courts in Idaho, which sentence some offenders to treatment. Still, punishment may start to fit state budgets, not just the crime, says Mark Maurer, especially when it comes to drug offenses.
costs about $20,000 a year, conservatively speaking, to keep an offender locked up. Now, if we're talking about a serial rapist who's going for a long period of time, no one's terribly concerned about the cost there. But if we're talking about a low-level drug offender who's serving a five-year mandatory prison term, that costs taxpayers $100,000. Well, that's a very expensive way to address that problem, and lots of research shows it's not a terribly effective way to lock up such enormous numbers of low-level drug offenders.
When times are flush, says Maurer, no one questions building and staffing more prisons. They're seeing as job creation projects in a lot of rural areas. But in an era of starved state finances, prisons may have to work on a budget, like every other state institution. And for Maurer, that's a positive.
The irony is that of all the problems that the fiscal crisis is causing around the country, from my point of view, about the only constructive element of that is that it is causing a reconsideration of prison policies and sentencing policies. It's one that's long overdue, that should have been considered for other reasons, but now the fiscal crisis is really elevating that concern and forcing policymakers to address these very difficult problems.
And for reformers like the Sentencing Project's Mark Maurer, that's the silver lining for prisons in the state budget crisis.